John chapter 10. It's good to get back into the Gospel of John. Of course, this is in my Scofield Bible. It says right above there, Discourse on the Good Shepherd. And we're going to see interesting reactions as Jesus teaches down through here. And folks, we've watched this cycle go over and over and over. One of the things that we've said over and over again, we'll say it again today at some point, it's hard for the natural man to receive the things of the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says they cannot. It's impossible. And so you've got a certain number of the Jews, especially Jewish religious leaders, that are listening with natural ears. They're thinking earthly when Jesus is trying to teach spiritually. And you see this constant conflict. It causes conflict. It causes division. In this chapter, it's going to cause anger, murderous anger, just simply because it's not that they could not receive the truth, but they would not receive the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say, how could they receive the truth, preacher? Receive Christ. Believe what he's trying to tell you. And but they were more interested in trying to catch him in his words and trying to trip him up and trying to undermine his teaching than they were to just accept who he said that he was. And so we see that, first of all, Jesus introduces himself as the door to the sheepfold. And so we're going to start there where he's going to talk about being the door. And then he's going to change up when that causes some confusion. He's going to throw him another curveball and all of a sudden change it up where I'm not just the door of the sheepfold, I am the good shepherd. And so wonderful principles concerning our relationship to Jesus as sheep. I remember having a discussion with a Christian man, 100% convinced that the man was saved. I mean, if I should say 100%, based on his testimony, I believe a lot of the other things in his life. I believe he's a saved man. I had a conversation with him. I used to work with him. And I brought up the subject of Psalms 23 and what a blessing that is. And he said, well, I've just always had a little trouble with this whole being a sheep thing. let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of pride that just spoke there. And by the way, I love this man. I mean this. And for a while, he even attended the church in Brazil when I pastored there. But his biggest flaw in his life that kept him from ever being all that I think God wanted him to be was he had a pride problem. Folks, I have no problem being a sheep. As long as Jesus is my good shepherd, as long as God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I think the greatest thing in the world, the blessing of having a shepherd. Just count me amongst the sheep, okay? If you're too proud to claim that title, I'm not. I'm glad that he leadeth me. I'm glad that I have somebody to follow. I'm glad I have somebody taking care of me and taking care of my family. And so I'll never forget that. Every time this subject comes up, I go back. I wouldn't call his name, but I go back to him, that conversation. I remember just looking at him so befuddled. And I thought to myself, why as a Christian would you have trouble being called a sheep? And so be careful of pride, folks. That's what we are. We're sheep. Come on, you ought to read up on them. All right, this is why it takes some humility. Not the brightest animals in the world. Okay, one takes off the wrong direction. Better listen. One takes off the wrong direction. Watch how many of them will just, without even knowing why, just go follow. You're not supposed to be following another sheep. You can end up going the wrong direction. You follow the shepherd. And that'll keep you going the right direction. But a whole study on that is interesting. But let's start with the door. Verse number one. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. There's the confusion. Verse 7, he says it very plainly. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless, dear Lord, our time here. And I ask, dear God, that you'd, as we direct our minds in just a minute into the scriptures, that you'll help us and help us to be thankful that you have, Lord, taken the position of our life as shepherd. And I pray that you'll help us to have more of appreciation for all that you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me say a quick word about the project. All right, this month, our theme is Be the Difference by Investing in Young People. And so we're going to give our class an opportunity to do this. I explained it the other night, but I'm going to say it again. Some of you may not have been in that service. But there's, for people that are 40 years and older, I want you to do something for me. Put some prayer into it, put some thought into it. But we're going to have on July 12th in our junior high and high school classes, we're going to give to all of our teenagers a gift from somebody 40 years and older. And I call it, I know this is a terrible title, but I can't change it. I like it too much. Something old from someone old. And so I'd like you to pick out something. You know, I was looking around kind of in one of my drawers where I keep some, everybody's got that drawer. Come on, you got to have a drawer where you keep some keepsakes. You got a few things that maybe have some sentimental value to you. And I was just poking around in there. You know, if you sign up for a boy, maybe you had a pocket knife that you carried for a time in your life. And maybe you got another one and that one ended up in the drawer. But for a time in your life, you carried it. And you could just hand that to the next generation. Just say, here's a pocket knife that I carry. And maybe say a few things. Add a verse to it. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. You know, and hey, if you're going to keep your knife sharp, you need to hang around people. It's going to be a good influence on you. Hope that you treasure this as much as I did. I'll pray for you going forward. And your name doesn't have to be anything fancy. Doesn't have to be a 16-page letter. Just something that maybe has a little bit of value, a little bit of story behind it, something that belonged to you that you'd like to pass on to one of our young people. And so you'll see that. Also, we're going to do the Christmas in July Sunday for all of the 5th and 6th grade level, a junior church, primary church, and there's a place where you just sign up for a boy or a girl and primary church. Make sure you write on the tag, primary church girl, junior church boy, 5th and 6th grade level girl, and put that on the tag. You want to put a specific name on it. Now, the ones that we're doing for the junior high and high school class, I know there's a lot of information, and no matter how carefully I try to explain it, it seems like people are confused. There's always a handful that just, well, you didn't say it that way. I don't know how to say this any plainer, all right? The 7th through 12th grade, you'll sign a specific name, okay? So you'll put that name on it so we'll know who to give it to. All the other ones, Christmas in July, just put primary church, and I'll be back there by the sign-up list to answer the questions of those that still didn't get it, all right? Doing the best I can, folks. It's kind of like printing a bulletin, you know? Why do we print a bulletin? When I get 16 texts saying, is this week? We've been announcing it for a month. And yeah, anyway, but all right, I vented for a while. I'm good. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, though. I'm getting better. They gave me a new toy to play with. Okay, say, preacher, what were y'all in the hospital for? A lot of it was I'm having some chronic lower lung issues, okay? That looks like maybe something I have to deal with a little bit going forward. Notice I'm getting out of breath a little easier than I used to. And so I have a little bit of trouble getting some of that stuff out. So they delivered, called me the other day. Hey, we got something we're delivering from your doctor. What is this? It's a vest. What are you talking about? And so they brought it. Well, we're on our way. We'll be there an hour and a half. So I called the hospital. What are you sending to me? And they started explaining it to me. Anyway, I got something that looks like a life preserver, you know, a vest I put on. And you snap it on tight. It sets here on your lungs pretty tight. And then you push a button and it takes you through 10 minutes of this vest, two and a half for 10 minutes. It changes up, you know, four times, and it just like vibrates you. And it's trying to pound all this stuff up so that I can spit it all out. So I'm thinking about wearing it preaching just one time. I've always wanted to do that, you know, or these Southern preachers where they do that, hell, you know, and all this stuff. And I may give it a whirl. I don't know. Just see if I can preach like a Southern preacher. But if it changes up every 2.5 minutes, that could really throw me off. I don't know. I may practice that at home. But anyway, that's my new toy. If anybody needs to borrow it, come by and we'll let you try it. This getting old stuff is a bunch of baloney. Let me just tell you that. I'll just say that officially. So anyway, I told him, how can I be climbing mountains in Idaho last fall and now all of a sudden I got, you know, breathing problems? Now, problem is, if you're a smart aleck, God sends you a nurse or a doctor who's also a smart aleck. You know, you do reap what you sow. So I'm like, how in the world can I have breathing problems? I've never had breathing problems in my life. I was up climbing in the mountains in Idaho. I've never had breathing problems in my life. And so this female doctor says, Mr. Ross, yes, everybody that begins to have breathing problems never had them before they started having breathing problems. Boy, I tell you, I mean, smart aleck doctors, smart aleck nurses, I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve this. So God sends me just who I need. All my doctors and nurses just know, just put the preacher in his place. Tell him, shut up and stop talking and listen. And so anyway, all right, enough of that nonsense. So yeah, all right. You know, Jesus presents himself. He's trying. I mean, he's doing everything he can. He's speaking truth. Have you ever just dealt with someone that's a hard unbeliever? And so you want them to come to the truth. You want them to come to the truth. So you're like, maybe if I approach them from this way, the light will come on and they shut you down. And then you turn around and you come, I'm going to come from this direction, use this illustration, and they shut you down. And, you know, as we've gone through the book of John, I've told you it has more discourse than any other book as far as Jesus and his interaction both with his disciples who were receiving the truth and the multitude who a lot chose to receive the truth. But boy, a lot of the discourse is between him and just, you know, adamant unbelievers that no matter what Jesus said, they were just stuck in their unbelief. And so he's now going to use an illustration of a sheepfold first and then the position of the good shepherd. And he establishes something in verse number one right away. Anyone who tries to enter in some other way, well, he does not mince words. He says, they're a thief or they're a robber. Just mark it down. So he's going to say in a minute, I'm the door to the sheepfold. So if somebody's trying to get to heaven some other way than through Jesus Christ, they're a thief and they're a robber. Now, if you come to my house, folks, and you want to come in, just knock on the door. Okay, and that way I know that you're there. I know that you want to come in, and I'll come over and I'll open the door and you walk through the door, and then that's the proper way. But if I'm sitting in my living room and I hear glass break and I hear a window open and I see somebody crawling through, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get the same reception you would get if you knocked on the door. You know, the sheriff that... Grandpa Ogle was a pistol. He had a lot of pistols, but he was also a pistol. But I remember one time he had some guys monkeying around and messing around with his property. He had he lived on this gravel road, and then from his road the yard went slowly up like this, leveled off, and then the house set. So these kids would come through with their trucks and they would drive off the road because he didn't have a ditch and just go through his front yard and then down like that. So Grandpa Ogle spent an entire day out in the barn with 2x4s and running 16 penny nails through them and painting them all green so that he could hide them in the grass just to teach them guys a lesson. He said, you ought to have seen the first time one of them did. He said, I was looking out, could hear him coming. And he said, man, once they run through there, there's 2x4s flipping up in the air right after. Oh, if we only had phones in those days, probably. But he would call the sheriff all aggravated, and the sheriff would finally say to him, now, Marvin, listen to me. If you're going to shoot one of them, drag him in the house before you call me. That's all I'm asking. Drag him in the house before you call me. That was the old-time sheriffs, okay? I mean, they know they needed shooting. They just didn't want to have to mess with the paperwork. Just get them in the house. At least open the door and get them halfway in. Well, if you're halfway through my window, you know, the Marvin Ogle in me is going to come out. Why? Because I'm just assuming you're a thief and a robber. Now, Jesus, he's looking at people, these men that think that they're going to go to heaven because of their self-righteousness, because they are keepers of the law, because they are the children of Moses. I mean, that's what they've said over and over again, okay? And Jesus is trying to tell them, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You're going to come through Jesus, or you're not coming at all. And so he establishes that right at the beginning. Anyone who tries to enter in some other way is a thief and a robber. And then we see this. Jesus, the shepherd, calls out to the porter. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe about this. I've had people say that the porter could be the Holy Spirit of God. I think possibly. I think the porter probably is God the Father. But folks, if we're arguing over that, I think all three of them are one, aren't they? And so it may be a combination of the two, but the porters, it's very interesting. The porter, if you look at that word, it means a watcher or a gate warden, he that keepeth the door. And we see interaction between the shepherd and the porter. And so if you look in verse number two, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And so here we see Jesus. He's going to be represented in a minute as the good shepherd. He's talking about leading the sheep in. He's talking about already the sheep hear his voice. You're going to see that a lot. You're going to see that a lot. Listen, you know, I've spent my life preaching this book now. I mean, I'm 40 years preaching this book, over 40 years. And you know what I find out? If you're preaching the words of God, and you're preaching the word, the sheep, they know it. They recognize it. Amen. They hear it. They're drawn to it. Watch this. They'll follow it. Okay? But if you're over here preaching your own stuff, or you're preaching things that aren't in this book, and it's not the words of our shepherd, you know what? The sheep, they don't follow that. Sheep don't. You might be able to get some goats to follow it, but the sheep aren't going to follow that. And so, you think about that when we talk about this idea of the voice. But here's the someone who the Bible says is the porter. He's the gate watcher. He's the gate warden. He's the one that says whether or not the shepherd can come in or not. He hears the voice of the shepherd and recognizes it. I mean, we're going to see it at the end of this chapter. He says, I and my Father are one. You know, the Father recognizes the voice of the Son, and the Son recognizes the voice of the Father. So you're going to fool God, okay? And so when he hears his Son's voice, he opens to him. And of course, the ones following Christ are the ones that are listening to his voice. And so we see that the porter is God the Father, and he's the one that keeps the door. The shepherd enters first to the sheepfold. And I want to say that again. Let me read that again. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. So he calls them by name, and leadeth them out. And one of the things that I think is very important is, I think is a great leadership lesson. You know, let's learn a leadership lesson from Jesus Christ. You know, folks, you can drive cattle, but you can't drive sheep. And if you notice, he never drives the sheep. He leads the sheep. He doesn't drive the sheep. He leads the sheep. And you know what? He speaks and they hear his voice. The sheep will hear his voice. He leads and the sheep will follow his voice. And I think one of the great leadership lessons of life is this: lead from the front. I mean, you talk to any great military, come on, any great military leader, you learn about them, and you know what? They led from the front. You know, soldiers will follow a guy into battle, but sometimes they'll have a little bit of trouble being pushed into battle by a man that don't want to take any risks himself. Read Ron Allen's book. He talked about being assigned these new lieutenants. And next thing you know, they'd want to give orders, and then they'd want to hide back while the lower ranks are fighting. And I'll have you do this. I mean, it'd be really good for everybody to actually try this, okay? And you say, well, I got a mental picture. I don't have to do it. Do it, and you'll never forget it. Just cut a piece of string about that long, okay? And then lay it on the table. And then push it from behind and see what happens. You know what? It all just bunches up. Pull it from the front and see what happens. And you know what? It'll follow in a straight line. And I think one of the things, you know, it's Father's Day, so hey, you know what, men? You know, this whole thing about do as I say, not as I do, that just don't work in child rearing. Now listen, we're not going to be perfect, and there's going to be times where we have to acknowledge that with our kids. But this whole idea of telling the next generation what they need to do, but then not showing them by our example what to do. And so one of the things we see about Jesus, he leads from the front. And you know what? He doesn't drive them. He leads them, and he leads them with his voice. And I think, you know what? Again, some of this, there are some correlations. You're probably not going to have your pastor go here very often. There are some lessons, I think, as God prepares a pastor. By the way, the word pastor means shepherd, okay? And so when we talk about the great shepherd, the good shepherd, that's Jesus. We sometimes, you'll hear the term under shepherd, and we'll talk about the pastor. But I think most pastors would be well served to say, if I'm going to be a shepherd of a flock that the good shepherd's entrusted me, maybe I ought to study the good shepherd, see how he leads, and just do it the way he does it. Because, you know, folks, I've heard preachers and sometimes even been under ministries where I felt like the guy is just poking and prodding and driving people forward from behind. But I've also been blessed to be under ministries where I see a humble man that just speaks the word of God and leads forward. And guess what? Well, not everybody's going to follow if you do it that way. The sheep will. The sheep will, you know. So anyway, I thought it was interesting there. Now, if you will, look at let's emphasize the voice for a minute. I already have, but the shepherd then uses his voice to call the sheep. And I thought about the importance of the word of God. I mentioned it already, but 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that's the command to a preacher and to an under-shepherd. Just preach the Bible. You know, people that are truly saved, they'll want it. People that aren't, they're probably not sticking around. And so you could try all of these other kind of tricks, and I think we ought to try to make people feel welcome. I think we ought to try to build relationships. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can do to help people kind of lock in a church. But folks, eventually, if they're a sheep, they're going to hear his voice and want to follow it. If they're not, you can pull every trick you want to pull to try to keep people in the pew. And the honest truth is, you know, I say this to young preachers a lot, just trust the Bible. Just trust it. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to overthink it. What are we doing today? I mean, we're just going through the Bible. Well, that's not as exciting as this program, or, you know, if you had a worship team, or if you did, well, why don't we just preach the Bible? You know what Sunday school is? They're just down there teaching the Bible. Amen. You know what the big promo on Wednesday night, by the way, I was up here, Brother Martin came and covered for me while I was in doing outdoorsman camp. Dan Martin came that Wednesday night. He told me after, called me and said, Brother Ross, He's an evangelist, preaching all over the country. He said, I think you probably had one of the strongest Wednesday night attendances of almost any church I've ever been in. He said, compared to your Sunday morning attendance, it's remarkable. And how do we get them there here? Well, we give away goldfish every Wednesday night. And if we break the record, I'll swallow one. And I've done all that. I'm not against promotion. I'm not against having some fun on the bus, but you can't live on that. So what's the big promo to get people to come Wednesday night? Well, let's see. Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting. If you speak this, the sheep ought to want to come. And folks, after a while, I just tell you honestly, if I'm constantly chasing somebody that supposedly got saved here, and I have to almost every week call them, text them, or beg them to be here, come on, after a while, maybe they went through the motions, but did they get saved? And we're careful, and we try to be careful, but I can't read a heart, and neither can you. And I know there's people out there, David Cloud's one of them. I think he doesn't think anybody that if he didn't personally lead them to the Lord, we did it the wrong way. And there's some real ridiculous things being said out there. And yes, I called the name. You better watch out for some of this extreme repentism and all this other stuff going on. But I'm just telling you, folks, we do the best we can. We're sincere as we can. And we preach the gospel where you are saved by grace through faith alone. Amen. And the minute you say, yeah, but they have to, you're crossing lines. And so I'll stand to die on that hill. But at the same time, folks, we got to make sure we're properly presenting the gospel. And as much as we can, as much discernment as we have, to try to see a working of the Holy Spirit in our life. But if somebody says they understand, and yes, they truly want to be saved, I'm not going to tell them, well, you need to sit in a pew for a year before I can let you pray and receive Christ. Yeah, that's not the book of Acts. That's not what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. We got to be careful with this nonsense. I literally had a preacher. I'm just going to park here a minute. I got a preacher. It's a friend of mine. But he's gotten into some of this nonsense. He told me there's a guy attending his church, been attending there for a year, and has come several times asking to be saved. And he told him, you haven't sat and listened long enough. And he bragged that the man had been in his church for over a year, and yet the preacher won't let him get saved. Because apparently he's not seen enough, in his mind, change and repentance. Folks, change happens after. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So what are we doing? Okay? And I mean, bragged about that. Sometimes you think, well, preacher, I don't know, you hit this extreme repentism. You better understand there's a ditch on both sides of the road. Now, should you have a repentant heart, repentant spirit? Yes, but there's a ditch on both sides of the road. And there's some of this other stuff that's just turned into work salvation. That's all it is. And so that, I hope that helps some of you. Be careful who you're listening after and reading after. Because some of them's gone to seed in some of this. But I tell young preachers, just preach the Bible. You know, how in the world out in the middle of Jaceville, Indiana, has God done something like that? Well, I don't know, God did it. And there's other guys in communities doing the same thing. Maybe they haven't had the same results yet, but man, I think my dad just built a foundation here. He just trusted the Bible and taught and preached the Bible. And you know what? He just figured if they hear the shepherd's voice, the sheep will want to come. Isn't that good for us? So he's talking about being the door of the sheepfold here. The porter does not open the door for the fake shepherd. God's not fooled by a fake shepherd. And if God, the porter, isn't fooled by him, then we as the sheep got to be careful we're not fooled by him. And so verse number 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We talk about the voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this is where I want to stop and park a minute. Okay, folks, there are so many podcasts out there and so much information, so many different people, supposedly they're Bible preachers and teachers. You better be careful. Okay, well, I've read after Dave Cloud, and I've listened to some of his stuff, and Man, he's got a lot of good stuff. Yep. Yep. But in this area, he's wrong. And I'm just telling you, folks, there's a lot of guys that are 89%. Well, I started listening to this guy, 89%. All of a sudden, you listen, here's the thing. If I spend so much, I promise you in my life, I have not shortchanged my time in this book. But when somebody says something, I immediately, it's like I'm going through a file system. And I hear something, and I'm going through a file system, and I'm reconciling what they just said to the scriptures. And come on. Y'all have been under preaching a long time. You've read through the Bible how many times, listened to it how many times. After a while, you ought to be able to, when you hear the voice of a stranger, okay, wait a minute. You know, that's, you can, these preachers throw out these little cliches that sound so good, but there's no Bible in it. And some of them are anti-Bible. I mean, folks, these Facebook theologians, social media theologians that throw these little memes on there with their little sayings, and I mean it, over half of them, if anybody had that much Bible knowledge, would know that's a bunch of baloney. Okay? I mean, there's things being said to our young people, you know? How about this one, you know? You've got to determine what you believe and then be true to it. Now, doesn't that sound so good? My problem is it's wicked. It's the same thing that the devil told Eve. You need to not listen to what God said about it. You need to go over and take a look out for yourself and make your own decision about it. And you think about that. You got to decide what you believe and then stay true to it. No, I want to decide what God says and stay true to it. But all these little cliches are out there, and people, they'll say it and they'll put it on social media and a bunch of Christians will like it. I'm like, I'm talking about Christians who've been in the church for 25, 30 years. I don't know. I can't spend time on there because I would just completely, consistently, constantly post one word. Idiot, 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 idiot. Come on, folks. Listen, I hope this is helping you. We're not getting very far. I haven't even got it past the door yet, let alone the Good Shepherd stuff. Well, let's just take a moment and just exalt the Bible and just say, look, listen, this is going to help keep us from error. This is going to keep us from being deceived and manipulated. It's going to keep you from floating over into false doctrine. It's going to help you as you're listening to different people on the internet or preachers or following teachings. You better understand the difference between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of a stranger. Because that voice of the stranger can be pretty convincing. But when the voice of the stranger comes to the door, the porter's not fooled by it. And by the way, if you're a sheep, you shouldn't be fooled by it. Not for very long. I can see saying, man, I heard this message from this guy. It was fantastic. And it probably was. And then you listen to a second one. Then you listen to a third one. And then about the fourth one, all of a sudden, wait, whoa, what? Is this guy a Calvinist? Because that sounds like something a Calvinist would say. Better do a little bit of research. And I'm going to say this, okay, crucify me if you want to. 50 years ago, you know who pastored a local assembly? The pastor. You know where people went to get fed sermons and Bible studies? From the pastor. Amen. You better be very careful deciding you're going to be pastored by the internet. Amen. Okay, because if you're listening to some stranger out there, and the next thing you know, you're coming in here with a critical spirit about what your pastor's preaching, then maybe you ought to decide whose voice you're hearing. Because listen, Jerry Ross is not a perfect person, and I can make human error and misspeak and do it from time to time in a sermon where I meant to say the Lord and I said the devil. I mean, you can sometimes you have the craziest miss. I know what it's up here, by the way. You don't talk as much as I do in church. If you talked as much as I do, I've heard you misquote things and say wrong in the foyer, and you only said 17 sentences while you were here. Okay, so cut me a little slack. But I don't mean accidentally. I mean, I think if you'll look at the track record of your pastor, I'm staying true to this book. And so be careful. I'm watching people going to good churches and have a good pastor, and they start listening to somebody like Steven Anderson on the internet. And next thing you know, they're worshiping Steven Anderson and they're being hypercritical of their own pastor. And Steven Anderson is often so many. I don't even know who these people are. I know, and I don't like calling names because then I don't want to make people curious and I'm going to go listen to them. Don't do that. I just said stay away from them, okay? But let me say this. The reason I got to start calling some of their names is some people in our congregations are finding these guys and are listening to them. And so if you'll come to your church and listen to your pastor, find a Bible preaching church with a Bible preaching pastor, read the Bible for yourself. That's what we lived on, Brother Joe, for years and years and years and years and years, and somehow grew a spiritually strong generation after generation without the help of podcasts. Just a miracle how that happened. And so that's my 2 cents worth. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us, Lord. Jesus, we just want to hear your voice, and we want to follow you. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us be careful and not fall for the voice of the stranger. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being that great porter. And you know the voice of your son, and we know his voice. Well, what a beautiful picture is painted in this chapter. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.